again. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 through 26. If you have looked in your bulletin and see the title, you might recognize it from an ad campaign, but we're not talking about scrubbing bubbles today. We're talking about Almighty God. And each and every week, we should be and will be talking about Almighty God. That is, however, very insufficient. Talking about Almighty God is insufficient. No Christian, no follower of Christ should be satisfied to simply talk about God. We ought only to be satisfied when we know Him. We come into His house and gather in His name to worship Him. Our songs, our giving, our message from invocation to doxology ought to be an exercise in knowing Him, so that we can leave this place having met with Him, having been changed by Him, so that we can let others know about Him too. Did you catch me? Scratch that. Take a look at the front of your bulletin. Our mission is to develop champions, to celebrate our relationship, to build one another up, to share Christ and bring others to know Him. Not know about Him. I know about our president. I don't know him. I don't know him. For the past 2 weeks, we have spent our time in God's Word considering Romans 3, 21 through 26. We could spend an awful lot of time in these verses. Many, 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 many more weeks. And we'll do so again today, but then we'll move on. We have looked at redemption and justification as principles in understanding these two terms and their very rich truths of God. How God has moved, how He has worked to redeem us from the bondage of sin. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you have been redeemed. Can you remember what it was like before that to be in bondage to sin, to be under the curse and to be enslaved by it? How you tried so hard not to do it. And maybe you had a little bit of success, but eventually you did it anyways. You couldn't escape it. Oh, you tried. You might have even gotten professional help and gone and sit on a couch somewhere with someone who is trained in helping you. And I'm not disparaging that. Many of us need that. We need someone to talk to get a clearer vision and an understanding of why it is we behave the way we do and what we can do about it. But it, being in bondage to sin, that is very little help, because it is God who redeems. Before Christ, when you and I tried, we couldn't escape. There was nothing that we could do to pay the ransom and set ourselves free. If you don't believe that truth, there are two things that are true of you. Either you're lying to yourself, beloved, or you haven't taken 2 seconds to thoughtfully think about being in bondage to sin and who sets us free. You and I are born sinners, and we are born into bondage without any hope of paying the debt that we owe on our own to be set free. But redemption has been won. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He is the one that God brought forth to set us free. And He is the one to be lifted high. And so we respond in glorious praise of who He is. When we say, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns." Amazing love, amazing grace. Oh, if we sit there for a few minutes, that's enough to separate your head from your shoulders. Amen? I'm sorry. Amen? Amen. I don't have to look very far back to know of the bondage that God has sent me free from. It's with me. I understand that. But that's not all that God has done. We're not done yet. We also talked about being justified by His grace as a gift. God is the one who justifies. We would like to do something to be able to stand before Him, in His, you know, righteous before Him. We would like to contribute. We would like to do something to be justified in His sight, to be able to commune with Him. It's a human condition. We want to do that, and yet there is nothing that is able of ourselves to wipe away the stain of our sin. God has revealed His wrath against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men, so that we are without excuse before Him. We are justly under His condemnation. But God has done everything to rectify that situation. In Jesus Christ, He was presented as the justification. He is the one that paid the penalty of our sins, ransomed us, redeemed. He is the one that washed us. God has declared us not guilty. And it's important for us, mark this, beloved, we were not declared innocent. We were declared not guilty because Christ is innocent. I used the illustration last week of the Thanksgiving meal. What did you do to prepare it when you went over somebody's house? You did nothing. We always want to bring something so that we think that we can earn a spot at the table by bringing some really good pumpkin pie, when all we really get to do at the table of the gospel is pick up the fork and eat. God has declared us innocent. We never could be, but He has chosen to justify us by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What can wash away my sin? What can wash away your sin? Answer? Okay, you old hymn people, come on now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Okay, Matt Redman probably remade it someplace, so it's probably modern too. I don't know. But nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we come this morning once again to Romans 21:3-21-26 to engage the text. The word of God reads, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, in whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Thus ends the reading of God's word. There is one more truth this morning that we are going to unpack. And by no means is it the last truth that needs to be unpacked from these magnificent verses. Can you guess what the word is that we're dealing with today? It's that other big one that's in there. Propitiation. The truth is that God has provided propitiation. Justification, redemption, propitiation, they're big words. They're beautiful words. They're words that we can percolate on. That as the water, you know, we implant them in our minds, and as the water of God's Spirit drifts down through the grounds into our heart, that can just transform our thinking, our very being, to understand what God has done. Propitiation, basically, means to make someone favorable who was not predisposed to be favorable towards someone. You do something that makes them favorable, especially in the sense of that they're angry at you. And God is full of wrath towards sin and sinners. How this works with respect to the gospel, this idea of being made favorable, it works in God's gospel, and it's seen clearly in the argument that has been developed here so far in Romans. God's wrath is revealed against all ungodliness. Both Jews and Gentiles are guilty. And God, through Paul's pen, just develops that to the point where there is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God's wrath righteously sits upon us. We are condemned by him, so what hope do we have? God himself redeems us and pays the ransom in Christ. God himself declares us not guilty and justifies us in Christ. And in Christ, God provides the means by which he is made favorable towards us. Did you catch that? God provides the means by which you and I are made favorable towards him. God makes God favorable. That's crazy. That's not how it works. In our minds and in history, we look back at the temples, and they offered meat sacrifice, and they had incredible ceremonies that were lifted up to these pagan gods so that they would be made favorable. The story of Jonah, when the sea is raging and he's on the boat, and they offer prayers to God, a God quite possibly, but to God to calm the storm, and nothing happens. So what do? They find Jonah and he's sleeping, and they say, Jonah, why are you sleeping? He goes, it's my fault. All you got to do is sacrifice me, toss me over, and everything will be fine. And they don't want to do it. They work harder. They pray harder. And the storm keeps getting worse. So, okay, we got to throw you over. May God have mercy on your soul. Goodbye. Barely hits the water and everything's fine. This word, propitiation, is also used in the Old Testament, in the translation of it into Greek, about the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. In Leviticus, where the priest would come in and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat to propitiate and prepare for God's coming, was the atonement for sin. We try to earn God's favor. We can't. We try to propitiate God and make him favorable. We cannot. In the ancient world, it was prolific. I do have a clip of some pagan propitiation that Alex is going to run. And young people, you might want to watch the screen because I think you'll get this.
Okay, don't give up hope.
Listen up. I will help you.
There's only one way to get your precious water. I, your beloved King Julian, must simply make a small sacrifice to my good friends, the water gods, in the volcano.
What does that do?
What does that do? Excellent question. My sacrifice goes in the volcano. Then the friendly gods eat up my sacrifice. Very nice. Thank you for the sacrifice.
Please have another sacrifice. No, I've had enough for the day. Listen, I'm going to be very insulted unless you have another.
I don't want another sacrifice, okay?
Look at you. You look skinny.
Don't think I've had enough. Is that clear?
The gods eat the sacrifice. They are grateful. They give me some of their water. Then I give it to you.
What? Does it work?
No. I mean, yes. Well, Maurice?
Yeah, it's 50-50.
Yeah!
Don't worry about the lights. King Julian, they have a trouble in the plane there, in the preserve. There's no water in the watering hole because it's been blocked off. King Julian wants to appease the water gods that are in the volcano, right? He's going to offer a sacrifice. The gods are going to eat the sacrifice, and they're going to be happy and grateful, and they're going to give me some of their water, and I give it to you. Isn't that how we think? Isn't that what we do? How do we try to appease God? We do lots of good things. We don't sacrifice in volcanoes anymore, but we give sacrificially to missions because that will make God happy with us. We pray. We fast because that will make God happy with us. We go to church. We do all this religious stuff. I said it last week. All religions are based on this, not Christianity. Christianity sets that on its ear. But that's propitiation, making the gods favorable. We are people of the good book. We obey in order to make God favorable. We make ourselves the center of the gospel when we say that we are lovable and therefore God gives us salvation in his son Jesus Christ. We support missionaries, and believe me, I think we ought to support missionaries, right, David? Right, David. With motives to earn God's favor, and that's not going to work because God's gospel obliterates that kind of thinking. Every attempt that we make to make God favorable, that's what makes the gospel so radical. Absolutely radical, that God would put on display publicly his very son as the means by which he makes himself favorable. That's just beyond reason. That's the gospel. That's the transforming, revolutionary power of the gospel unto salvation. He has done all the work. That is precisely what the gospel is. God has done everything necessary for our salvation. And so I have four applications very quickly. First of all, let go. Stop trying to propitiate God. It's already been done, one, and you can't do it anyway. If you do not know Christ as your Savior and you're trying to earn favor with God, stop. God has already done the work. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you do not have faith and believe what God has done on the cross, stop doing what you're doing, turn to him and have faith. Believe that Jesus Christ redeemed, justified, and propitiated God for you, for his glory. He did all the work. Believe the gospel today. If you are a believer and you keep doing those things to earn favor with God, let go. Knock it off. Stop. It's not going to work. God cannot be made more favorable to you. You cannot be made more favorable to God than he has already done in Christ. You can't add to the work that he's done. Focus hard, beloved. Focus hard. When you hear preachers or things on the radio or read articles or read books by, you know, the current whatever Christian person that's writing, focus hard on their prospects of what the gospel means and how it is obtained, what it is that God has done. Already done. And when you worship, when you come into this place, worship him. Know him. Forget about everything else and worship him. Alex, clip number two.
Thank you. whose name I do not know. Thank you for my life. I forgot how big
That's from a movie from a long time ago. Joe was supposed to be the propitiation for a businessman, and he gets shipwrecked after that doesn't work out, and he's going to die. He's on his deathbed. He has done everything he can to save himself, and he's going to die anyways. And then the scene transpires here. And I don't know if you heard and understood what he said, but I hope it's the prayer of your heart. I hope as you reflect upon the gospel of redemption, justification, propitiation, and everything else that God has done, that your prayer would be like Joe's. Dear God, thank you for my life, my spiritual life, my life in Christ. I forgot how big you are. God is bigger than anything you can face because he's already dealt with the biggest problem you and I have, our sin. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let us close this morning by singing together, "How Great is Our God." Would you please stand as we sing together?